Saul to Gibeah, saying, "Doth not David hide himself with us in strongholds in the wood, in the hill of Achilah, which is on the south of Jeshimon? Now therefore, O king, come down according to all the desire of thy soul to come down, and our part shall be to deliver him into the king's hand." And Saul said, "Blessed be ye of the Lord, hallelujah, for ye have compassion on me. Go, I pray you, prepare yet, and know and see his place where his haunt is, and who have seen him there. For it is told me that he dealeth very subtly." We'll stop right there. We'll talk tonight, this little thought, the adversary's continuous pursuit. The adversary's continuous pursuit. Father, I pray tonight for your help, for your guidance and direction. I pray, God, you fill the Holy Spirit. I pray, and ask God, to take the Word of God, Lord, let it illuminate our minds, and Lord, help us to grasp the truth, Lord, that it contains. And I pray, God, we implement what you have shown us that we need to apply to our life. And for that, Father, we'll thank you. I pray, God, to touch every heart that's here tonight, of those who are watching via the internet. I pray, God, to meet their needs as well. And I pray, God, there's one among us or watching that's not saved, blood-bought, born again. They've not been redeemed. They don't know if they die tonight, that heaven will be their final destination. I pray, God, they trust Jesus as Lord, Savior, and King. And for that, Father, we'll shout hallelujah. God, help somebody, because somebody needs your help. And for that, God, we'll praise you. We love you much, and we owe you everything. And Lord, if I left anything out, no matter how small or how great, I plead with you to meet this need as well, and we shall thank you. We love you. Have your way. For us and your sons, and we pray, Jesus. Amen. Amen. May be seated. The adversaries are continuous pursuit. The word adversary means a person, group, or force that opposes or attacks. And all of us have an adversary. All of us have someone that's trying to hurt us, that's trying to wound us, and we know who our chief adversary is. Who is it? He's Satan. Look, the Bible says, hold your place here because I'm coming back, but go with me to 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8. Look at 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse number 8. We have an adversary that's continuously chasing us and hounding us and trying his best to defeat us in every area of life. The Bible says in 1 Peter 5 and verse 8, Peter says to the believers here, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary," it's personal, "your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour." Our adversary is seeking and searching and looking and trying to find who he can devour, whom he can swallow up. And he's on this task almost 24 hours a day. He's trying his best to suck us in and trying to hurt us in any way that he can. And he wants a spot. He wants a place. Look, the Bible says in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse number 27. Ephesians 4 and verse number 27. He wants a spot to begin to work in. The Bible says in Ephesians 4 and verse number 27, the Bible says, "Neither give place to" who? The devil. That word "place" means a spot, a room, an opportunity. Satan, the devil, wants an opportunity to work. He wants a place where he can begin to work in our life to try and hinder us in any way that he can. And what he often does, my dear friends, is he'll wait till there's something happening in your life and use that situation as an opportunity, my friends, to work. Okay? See, a lot of times we blame a lot of things on Satan. We blame things on the devil. But a lot of times it's the circumstance of life. But he used that opportunity to work. You get a flat tire. "Well, the devil's after me." Okay. The devil did not come by, more than likely, and put a nail in the road and say, "Here comes Joel." Okay. But what happens is, there's a nail that's there. You run over that nail. You get a flat. Now you've got to respond. You're going to respond either in a feisty, angry, upset way, fall apart, Or you say, you know what? I got a flat. Okay? I got to get it changed. If I got me a spare, I'll go back here and do what I got to do to get the spare. If I don't know how to change the tire, I'm going to call somebody that knows how to change the tire. But guess what? It's not necessarily the devil put the nail in the road, but he uses it as an opportunity to get us all riled up and all stirred up and see how we're going to respond. Well, the Bible does tell us is this. When he does attack, look what the Bible says in James 4 and verse 7. James 4 and verse 7. When he does attack, the Bible tells us this is what you and I can do. Instead of saying what I can't do, this is what I can do. The Bible says in verse number 7, the James says, the half-brother of Jesus, he says, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, submit! Somebody said, oh, I like that word already. Submit! Yourselves, therefore, to who? God. And then the Bible says, resist the devil. And the Bible says, and he not might, the Bible says, and he will flee from you. But my friends, we spend a lot of time resisting, but not enough time submitting. And when you and I submit to God, he gives us the strength to be able to resist the attack from the enemy, my friends, when he's trying to overwhelm our minds and our thoughts. And the Bible says he's going to be gone. He will flee. So if he ain't fleeing, then what's the problem? And I need to search and find out what's up. Amen. But the Bible tells us that this is a principle that we can follow. And my friends, if we look back in 1 Samuel, we see that David had an adversary that was pursuing him continuously. It's like Saul would not give up. By the way, Satan won't give up. Watch what the Bible says. The first thing we see back in 1 Samuel 23, verse 19, we see the conspiracy of the adversary. He's conspiring. The Bible says in verse number 19, now remember what's happened already. David has been in the wilderness, in the wilderness of Ziph. And the Bible tells us that Jonathan came by to encourage him, to strengthen him. Now, Jonathan's gone back to the house, and now we have David still in the wilderness. And the Bible says in verse 19, then came up the Ziphites to Saul, to Gibeah, saying, doth not David hide himself with us in strongholds, in the wood, and in the hill of Achilah, which is on the south of Jeshimon? Now, therefore, O king, come down according to all the desire of thy soul to come down. And our part, let me tell you what we're going to do. We shall be to deliver him into the king's hand. These folks are conspiring against David. They go and say to Saul, hey, he's over here. O king, you're the same when they say, O king, our allegiance is to you. We recognize you as the one that's in charge. So therefore, we don't want you to hurt us. But what we will do is this, because they probably heard about what happened to the prophets. Remember, they all got killed. Hey, so, listen, we're going to turn him over to you. We're going to show you where he's at. They're conspiring with Saul to capture David. The Bible goes on to say, my dear friends, in verse number 21, and Saul so deceived. And Saul said, blessed be ye the Lord. Hallelujah, glory, for ye have had compassion on me. Now, several things we see in this verse. Number one, God ain't in this. God's not trying to give him over to David, for David in his hands. But he thinks so. And this is amazing, my friends, how sometimes if we're not careful, we'll get delusional enough and to think that God's in the midst of something that God's not. Who's in my preacher, for example? You're walking down the street. You see somebody drop a wallet. They keep on going. You stop by. You pick it up. It's got $500 in there. And you got a bill that's due that's $450. And you can say, well, praise the Lord. Ain't God good? I mean, apparently they didn't need it. And God figured I need it, so God came by and pulled it out of his pocket and it fell on the ground for me to pick it up. And now I'm going to go ahead and have $50 extra and give me something to eat. Because he's well-dressed. And matter of fact, I see him getting the bins, so I know he ain't going to mess his money ever. This is God's blessings. You know who that belongs money back. But it's amazing how we're not careful, we'll be deceived ourselves in the thing that God's blessing when God's not. And that's what's happening with Saul. Saul's like, and Saul knows that David has been anointed to be king. But he's saying to himself, look what God's done. And by the way, thank God for having compassion on me. That's the first time we've seen that. Saul has a me problem. Saul has a pride issue. And by the way, that's what's got him in trouble in the first place. When things were happening, when he wasn't doing what God would tell him to do, he blamed the people. He didn't say, look what I've done. He said, them people. It was them, not me. My dear friends, when we focus on ourselves, there's going to be problems and there's going to be hindrances. But my friends, the Bible says to die to self and to live for the Savior, Jesus Christ. But he said, man, I'm glad y'all had compassion on me. And y'all told me what was going on. They conspired against David. The Bible goes on to say in verse number 22, he says, go, I pray you, prepare yet, and know and see his place where his haunt is. That word haunt means his foot, where he's traveled, where he's been walking, and who have seen him there. For it is told me now, this is what they're telling me, that he dealeth very subtly. He's very crafty. Yeah, because God's watching over him. Duh. Amen. My dear friends, we have to use wisdom. And when you and I use wisdom and we follow God's wisdom, we will, my friends, escape the enemy time and time and time again. But Saul, like, now y'all, I want y'all to make sure where he's at. Because he's slippery. I come and he gone. So in other words, he says right here, y'all go get prepared. Find the place where he's traveling at. And then he says, verse 23, see therefore and take knowledge of all the lurking places, the hiding places, the refuge places, where he hides himself, and come ye again to me with what? The certainty. And I will go with you, and it shall come to pass, if he be in the land, that I will search him out thereout, throughout all the thousands of Judah. I'm not going to stop. But y'all find out where he's at for sure, for certain. Watch this. Verse 24. And the Bible says, now we move from the conspiring to the pursuing from the adversary or of the adversary. And they arose and went to Ziph before Saul. Watch out, y'all. But David and his men were in the wilderness of Maon in the plain on the south of the Shiloh. He wasn't there. I wonder why he was gone. My idea is that God told him, you don't need to stay right here. So he's not in the same place they thought he was at. But they're not going to start pursuing him. Look what the Bible says in verse number 25. And Saul also and his men went to seek him, and they told David, David! Here comes Saul. Wherefore he came down into a rock and abode in the wilderness of Maon. And when Saul heard that, he pursued after David and the wilderness of Maon. Here's Saul. He's pursuing David. I'm going to chase him. I'm going to get him. I'm going to take care of David. And David's on the run. My dear friends, like we read earlier, how Satan is seeking to devour us. He runs and chases after us, my friends. He's trying his best to destroy us and to hinder us. He's in hot pursuit. Then we see, my friends, the surrounding of the adversary. The Bible says in verse 26, and Saul went on this side of the mountain, and David and his men on that side of the mountain. But watch it, watch it. And David made haste to get away for fear of Saul. For Saul and his men, there it is, compassed or surrounded David and his men round about to take them. He was now surrounded. So in other words, you got Saul all around the whole place. They have encircled David. They've surrounded David. And David and his men are about to be defeated. Let me ask you. Have you ever been there? Where it seemed like you got so many problems, so much pressure, so much trouble that is surrounding you. You look to your left, you got problems. You look to your right, you got problems. You look behind you, you got problems. You look in front of you, you got problems. You look up, you got problems. You look down. It's like problems, problems, problems. I'm surrounded by problems. The enemy's trying his best to devour me. It was during this time that David did what he'd done so often.
think I'll write a song.
David, you surrounded, boy.
That give me a song. Do you know a lot of the heartfelt songs that you enjoy today are songs that came out of pain, that came out of hurt? Look what David wrote. Look at Psalm 54. Psalm 54. Look what David wrote. Psalm 54. The Bible says this in Psalm 54, verse 1. To the chief musician of Niganoth, Mashiel, a psalm of David. Here it is. When the Ziphims came and said to Saul, doth not David hide himself with us? Save me! This is a song, as well as his prayer. Save me, O God, by thy name, and judge me by thy strength. Hear my prayer, O God, and give ear to the words of my mouth. For strangers are risen up against me, and oppressors seek after my soul. They have not set God before them. Selah. You're not the one that's leading them. But God, I need you to save me. Lord, I need you to rescue me. I need you, watch me say in verse 2, to hear my prayer. Well, God hears our prayer, don't he? Does he? You begin to study the Bible. He tells you, over there, what's in Isaiah? Go hold your place here. But go with me to Isaiah 54, I believe it is. Isaiah 54. And I'll let you know when I get up to Isaiah 54. He makes this statement in Isaiah 54. Make that 59. Isaiah 59 and verse 1. The Bible says this in Isaiah 59, verse 1. Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened, but he cannot save. That's not the problem. Neither his ear heavy, that he cannot hear. That's the problem. But your iniquities, your sins, have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you, that he will not hear you. That's deep, man. There's a time when God just won't hear us. But David's saying to God, God, I want you to hear me. You know why? Because David had done nothing wrong. David has not sought to kill Saul. David has not sought to harm anybody. And David, in his prayer, my friends, when he goes, go back to Psalm 54, when he says, hear my prayer, O God, and give ear to the words of my mouth, he has no reason to believe that God will not hear his prayer. He goes on to say in verse number 4, behold, this boy can write and pray. Behold, God is my helper. The Lord. Did y'all catch that? When he said Selah, which is a pause, now all of a sudden, my friends, he come back and it sounds a little different. Sound like to me, a boy got a little confidence here. Some faith has slipped up in there. The Bible says in verse number 4 again, he says, behold, God is mine helper. The Lord is with them that uphold my soul. He shall reward evil unto mine enemy. Cut them off in thy truth is what's going to do it. I will freely sacrifice unto thee. I will, what? Say what, David? You're still surrounded, boy. I will praise thy name, O Lord, for it is good. For he, David says, have delivered me out of all my trouble, all the trouble, and mine eye have seen his desire upon mine enemies. I've got a good God. It's amazing how you and I can be surrounded by the enemy, and then we drop to our knees and we begin to pray and begin to cry to God, and all of a sudden, my friends, you feel those faith muscles start to popping up. And all of a sudden, my friends, instead of you going, Lord, maybe I ain't never been there before. But every time I've been out here in the church, I've been out here praying, I'm like, oh God, woe's me. And then while I'm praying, next thing I know, I'm like, woo, God, you got it! Oh God, you got it! Woo, glory, hallelujah! And I'll take a lap around the church, and man, I'll spit and slobber and have me just a good time praising God. Woo, why? Because he's not only able, my friends, he'll do it, praise God. Woo! That's the kind of God that we serve when our adversaries have continuously pursued us. Oh my. Now watch this. They all surround him, David. David's writing this song slash prayer. And watch what happens. Go back to 1 Samuel 23 and verse number 27. We see the interrupting of the adversary. The Bible says in verse 27, but there came a messenger unto Saul, saying, haste thee and come, for the Philistines have invaded the land. Wherefore Saul returned from pursuing after David and went against the Philistines thereof, the Philistines. Therefore they called the place Selah Hamakalah. What happens? I believe God calls that interruption. He's trying to get David. They say, Saul, the enemy's attacking us and about to take our stuff. So he got a choice. Continue to pursue somebody that is not pursuing them, or him rather, or go defend the people of Israel. And he stops pursuing David and goes to fight the real enemy. You know what I thought about? That was the time, the situation, this was years ago. The situation was going on and the person was putting a lot of energy, words, and attacking me and all kind of stuff. It's amazing how God, it's like God came by and gave them something else to do. And the shift was no longer on me. The shift was on something else that was over here. I'll never forget that situation taking place. And then Jolene said, man, it's like God just came by and just shifted that person's whole attention. You know what? That person didn't bother me no more. Because they're shifted somewhere else. Do you know what, my dear friends? When the enemy comes by and is trying to surround you and trying to hurt you, God knows how to come by and interrupt their pursuit. God knows how to come by, my friends, and stop the enemy for that moment from pursuing you. Now, Saul ain't done yet. He'll come back later. But at least David can breathe. Sometimes I pray that prayer. Patrick asked the Lord, just let us breathe a little bit. I mean y'all probably, maybe y'all know what I'm talking about, but there's been a time when it's like stuff happened over here and over there. It's like, man, I can't breathe. I'm like, God, just give us a little breathing room. Just a little breathing. I'm not a whole lot right now. I'll answer that later. But right now, I just want a little breathing room. Just a little oxygen, because you know when you don't have no oxygen, it affects your brain, which affects your thinking. I just want to breathe a little bit. That's all I'm asking. It's amazing how God will come by and help me to be able to breathe. He'll come by and do something in that situation, and all of a sudden you can go. Whereas before, he went, like we do in the choir, when the choir is singing. Some of y'all don't know this. When we do in the choir, join me and say, okay, now it's time for you to take a deep breath. You're going to have to hold that note. And we'd be like, and we sing that note, ah. And it's like you'd be holding that note, you'd be like, ah. You're like, come on, stop it. You know, and then we over. That's why sometimes I say, "Whoa, praise God, I can breathe." That's what I'm saying. Amen. But you know what? God knows how to come by and to give us some breathing room. So we see the interrupting of the adversary. Then lastly, we see the departing of David. The Bible says here in verse number 29, and David went up from thence and dwelt in the strongholds of I practice this word. In Gedi. And that's what David's going to, I mean, Saul's going to be with him later. But he was able to move from the place he was at. And he had some breathing room. Because now remember, he's not in the car. We just jump in the car and take off. They're going to have to travel. My friends, God knows how to help us when the enemy, our adversary, is continuously pursuing us. I've got three questions for them. First question is this. Is the adversary closing in upon you? Is the adversary closing in upon you? Secondly, have you pleaded with God to hear your prayer? Have you pleaded with God to hear your prayer? Now remember, for God to hear your prayer, there's a lot of things involved in that. I just mentioned one thing. But have you pleaded with God to hear your prayer? Thirdly, this is very important. Do you believe
that God will deliver. Do you believe that God will deliver? The last one's a statement. Let's call upon God tonight. Father, thank you for your many wonderful blessings. I thank you, Lord, for the attentiveness of each one that came out tonight. And perhaps, God, that some of my brothers and sisters want to talk to you about some things that you've been talking to them about. Perhaps, God, they feel the pursuing of the enemy. The adversary is on their heels. And he's maybe working through some people that they know and love and care about. And he's using them, Father, to put pressure, Lord, to put anxiety or worry or fear in the midst of their loins and their bodies spiritually. I pray, God, they come and talk to you about these matters of the heart. Perhaps, God, there's someone here that wants to say, thank you, Lord, that you gave me some breathing room. The enemy was pursuing me, but God, you helped, Lord, to interrupt the situation. And for that, Father, I want to say thank you. Or perhaps, God, there's somebody here tonight that they know someone that they do love and care about who is being pursued by the adversary. And they want to pray for that person. They want to intercede on their behalf and ask you, God, to interrupt that pursuing and let that person begin to breathe again. And for that, Father, we'll thank you. Then, Lord, perhaps there's someone here tonight, Lord, that doesn't know Christ as their Savior and they want to be saved, born again tonight. I pray, God, they come and talk to me or someone else they have confidence in, and we will show up from the Word of God how to trust Christ as their Savior. But, Father, whatever the needs are, I pray, God, we respond because you want to speak and talk to our hearts tonight. We love you. Have your way now. We've heard the songs, the sermon. Now it is time to respond. What's your son's name? We pray. In Jesus. Amen. Amen. Let's all stand.